The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Let's get our Bibles out. I open it up to Mark chapter 6. I went before the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, I got plenty of things I could preach. The whole Bible's full of wonderful things. What do you want today? And I waited and I listened. And here's where the Lord took me, Mark chapter 6. I want to remind you of something. You turn to Mark chapter 6. I want you to get this in your spirit. You remember the word the Lord gave me to give to you for 2023? I've repeated it I don't know how many times. The Lord told me, keep telling my people this for this year. Celebrate every victory. I've clarified this before. I'm going to clarify it again. Every victory includes everything. You might have 100 challenges in your life that are not yet looking like victory. But let's say you go to the grocery store and you pull up and there's a premium parking spot right where you want it to be. Is that a victory? It is if you celebrate it. How many know that's not life-changing? Unless you let it be by celebrating every little victory. It's 107 degrees today. Praise God, we've got air conditioning. I celebrate the victory. See, it doesn't matter what the situation is. You just celebrate the victory. You find the victory in it and celebrate it. And when you're doing that, when you're busy celebrating what God is doing in your life, you don't have time to look around at the things that you feel like. Did you hear feel in there? You feel like. You don't live by feelings, do you? I hope you live by faith. If you live by feelings, you're probably going to get sick a lot because you're going to be on the roller coaster going up and down and left and right. When we live by faith, faith in who? Faith in God. Does He change? No. Is His love constant? Yes. Your life should not be a series of one up and down, left, right, confusion, feeling battered, beaten, and torn. That's not how life should be. I'm not saying that the storm is not going to come. Jesus said, whoever hears my word and applies it is like a man who builds his house on a firm foundation. And the storms come and beat against the house, but it stands. But those who hear my word and don't put it into practice are like a foolish man who does not obey the word, does not put it into practice, and it's like building a house on sand, and the same storms hit both houses. The same winds blow on both houses, but the house built on the sand collapses and has to be rebuilt. But the house founded on obedience to God's word, doing things God's way, saying what God says, keeping a faith attitude. A faith attitude is your choice. The devil can't take it away from you. God will support you in it, but He can't do it for you. Amen. And a faith attitude is what God is looking for. He can do miracles where He finds faith. Hallelujah. So the word of the Lord for this year was this: celebrate every victory. That's the first one. Be faith-focused, not fear-focused. There are always things that you can look at that will provoke in you fear. Get your news from sources that don't provoke fear. We don't need fear-mongering. There's plenty of it to go around. But God's not given us a spirit of fear, right? What did He give us? A spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I don't watch news outlets that I don't trust. I just don't. It's like, why would I want to do that, you know? They've proven that they don't tell the truth, so I'm not going to listen to lies and expect truth to come from it. I still keep my hand on the pulse of what's going on in the world around me. And I hear things that are troubling, but I don't let them trouble me. I let them provoke me to declare the things that God has said and to believe God for good things. Celebrate every victory. Be faith-focused, not fear-focused. And this is the one we're going to focus on today. He said this. He said, don't be distracted and don't be discouraged. Don't be distracted. Don't be discouraged. In case you don't know this, when someone over here on this side is doing something they don't want you to see, they'll always have something going on over there. All you got to do to keep people from knowing that you're burglarizing the house next door is to light the one on the other side on fire. Everybody will run to the fire, and then the thief comes in and tries to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't be attracted or distracted to the drama. Is there drama in our world today? Come on now. I mean it. There's plenty of drama, right? But we're not buying it. We're not participating. My peace comes from He who is peace, not from peaceful things. So I'm faith-focused, not fear-focused. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize. I'm going to keep being who God wants me to be, keep doing what God wants me to do, saying what God wants me to say, no matter what happens. Amen? And that's what we've got to do. We've all got to make up our mind that that's what I'm going to do. I can't control what other people choose to do. Even God doesn't control what we choose to do. Remember His word to Adam and Eve in the garden? You're free to eat from any tree in the garden. Some people believe that God literally told them, you cannot eat from that tree. That's not what He told them. You go read it. He told them, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Free to. But He said, but of that tree in the midst, don't eat it. Because in the day you do, you'll surely die. He was warning them, but He wasn't controlling them. The beautiful thing about our lives is my life can be as absolutely good and wonderful as I choose to make it be. No one can stop it. Amen. So Mark chapter 6, the final word that the Lord said to me was this, make God's word the final authority. So celebrate every victory. Be faith-focused instead of fear-focused. Don't be distracted or disappointed. Say disappointed out loud, because we're going to talk about that one. Disappointed, distracted, disappointed. And then the last one is make God's word the final authority. All right, so let's pick it up here in Mark chapter 6. Jesus left there, went to His hometown, accompanied by His disciples. And when the Sabbath came, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard Him were what? What was their response? They were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they said. What wisdom is this that has been given to Him that He even does miracles? Did they acknowledge that Jesus had wisdom? Did they acknowledge that Jesus was a miracle worker? Yes, they did. They did not focus on that. Here's what they did focus on. They said, isn't this the carpenter? I mean, doesn't he have a shop? Him and his daddy had a shop right down the road there. Isn't he Mary's son? Isn't he the brother of James, Joseph, Jude, Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? What are they focused on? They're focused on the natural only. We know him. We've always known him. I remember when he skinned his knee down there. And because of familiarity, what was their response? Instead of a faith response, they took offense at him. They acknowledged he's got wisdom like nobody else. He even works miracles. And then they chose not to focus on that revelation, but to focus on, yeah, but who is he? Who he think he is? And they took offense. Jesus responded and said to them, only in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Who are the hardest people to reach in your life? Family and friends. But I will tell you this from personal experience. If you stay steadfast and you stay true and you are truly the changed, born-again person that you really are, you refuse to compromise. They may not come around to your way of doing things, but they'll see you for who you are by your fruit. Amen? And a lot of times, especially when we first come to the Lord, they're examining fruit and they're looking, they're critical-minded, and they're looking for reasons to doubt. These people in Jesus' hometown were looking for reasons not to believe. And so they took offense. You know, if I held out a snake in my hands, most of y'all would not take it, would you? Well, I wouldn't hold a snake, but I'd get somebody else to hold it for me. But if they held it out to me, they say, here, take this. I say, no, I'm fine. I'm not taking that. Whose choice is it to take something? It's your choice. They took offense. Verse 5. Remember, they were offended at him, right? And it says he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. He could not do any miracles there. It doesn't say he got offended because they were offended, and so he would not do any miracles there. When they were offended at him, he didn't get offended back. But their offense, their thought pattern, the way they chose to perceive things, hindered him from being able to do mighty work, miracles. Who did it hinder? Who's the one here in his hometown that's being hindered? Jesus, Son of God, God Himself in the flesh, the Word made flesh, God Himself. If God can't do mighty things among His own relatives and friends because of their unbelief, what makes you think you can? Let me just say it this way. Why do you put so much stock in the response of people around you when you can't control the way they respond? Why do you let it get you down? Let me tell you why. Because you're not celebrating every victory. You're not being faith-focused instead of fear-focused. You're allowing their response to distract you and disappoint you. And you're not letting God's word be the final authority. But if we'll implement that word that God gave me for this year for us, and he told me, keep telling them. Celebrating every victory, you're too busy celebrating to see all the things that you're not able to celebrate yet. Come on, it's hard to cry and pout and feel sorry for yourself while you're celebrating and having a shout fest. Amen. Nobody ever had fun at a pity party. I don't know why they call it a party. I don't know who coined that phrase, but they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know. Pity ain't no party. It's a pit. And the more you stay in it, the more you stay self-focused and allow the enemy to cause you to be offended at someone's rejection or their lack of response. You know, they ought to know better. It's like, okay, I can agree with that, and so should we. Amen. Question, was Jesus amazed at their lack of faith? How do you know he was? Because the word says so. It seems to me like that if he was amazed at their lack of faith, he must have been expecting them to have faith. Other translations say he was amazed at the depth of their unbelief. Because what was he doing to start with? He went into the synagogue and he began to teach. And their testimony about his teaching was, where does this man get this wisdom that he even does miracles? And if I'm Jesus, I'm thinking, we're ready for a revival right here, boy. And all of a sudden, they decided to choose a different response. They started looking at just the natural. That's a carpenter's son. That's Mary's boy. There's his brothers and his sisters. And they took offense. They chose it. They willfully rejected his wisdom. They willfully rejected his ability to do miracles and chose instead to just be offended at him. But he didn't get offended back. He remained faith-focused, doing what the Father had sent him to do. He just kept going. It goes on, the passage says this, what did Jesus do after he was amazed at their lack of faith? It says, and then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. In other words, he just kept keep on keeping on, one foot in front of the other. Do you want everybody to accept you? Yes. Do you want everybody to love you? Yes. You want everybody to come and serve Jesus with you? Oh, yes, by all means, but they're not going to. And the best thing that you can do for them is not wait around on them. If you or you know someone who's waiting for someone else to run after Jesus so they can run after Jesus together. Many times in a marriage relationship, one person gets hindered by the other. When they allow themselves, well, I'm going to come when they come, then you may not ever come. Because you may very well be the catalyst that God wants to use. Just them watching the transformation in your life, them seeing the way you handle the circumstances that come at you. And I'm hoping we're having good testimonies. I'll tell you my response to every disappointing thing. You already know it. Every time something disappoints me, every time something doesn't go the way I want it to go, can anybody in this room guess my response? Sharon can. I bet the rest of you can too. I said, well, you know, we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. How come I'm saying that? Because that's what God said, and I'm echoing what he said. That's Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, if they were all good, he wouldn't have had to say it in the first place. I like to use it when things go good. It helps you. It brings balance. I mean, when you get that promotion that you were expecting, when you get that raise, that bonus, that increase, when your healing manifests, when your ear pops open in your church, you say, well, we know that in all things, God works together for the good.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at The Truth Broadcast. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
I mean, when you get that promotion that you were expecting, when you get that raise, that bonus, that increase, when your healing manifests, when your ear pops open in your church, you say, well, we know that in all things, God works together for the good. I tend to use that scripture predominantly when things disappoint me, to keep me from being disappointed. I just shift my focus. Like the day the motorcycle tire was flat, you probably heard the story, that I wanted to go for a ride. Finally got the opportunity, pulled the thing out of the shed and the tire's flat. I have blood trickling all out of my lip trying to keep from saying anything stupid that I would regret. And then when I did open my mouth, I said to my sweet wife, I said, tell me what Romans 8:28 says. How many of you noticed that I lean on her? In my times of need, I lean on her knowledge of the word. I'm not joking. I need her. But if she don't want to serve the Lord, how many believe I'm going to go on? Thank God he gave me somebody who does want to serve the Lord. I said, what Romans 8:28 says? She says, well, we know that in all things God works for the good. I said, tell me again. She goes, in all things God works for the good. I said, well, praise God, we got a flat tire. You realize we could have been killed if we rode this motorcycle this evening? Thank you, Father, for sparing us. Thank you, Lord, for whatever good thing you're doing right now. We celebrate your. That was our response. God is my witness. And then I parked it over there and got me a trailer and loaded it up the next day and went and paid $80 to have a flat fix because it's on the back tire. I didn't want to do that. You know what I did while I was doing it? I said, well, Lord, once again, I thank you that in all things you're working. Faith response. It allows God to work on your behalf. Jesus didn't let people change his perspective. Amen. When he was rejected, he didn't get offended over it. He just kept right on keeping on. He went on teaching. He went on doing. The enemy's always going to try to use other people to discourage you and disappoint you and distract you. Always. Not going to stop. The rest of your whole entire life on this earth, as long as you're surrounded by human beings, the enemy's going to use those human beings around you, even if you don't know them. He's going to use them to try to disappoint you and discourage and distract you. But you don't have to let it. Say, I don't have to let it. Let's go to Joshua, chapter 24 of Joshua. This is a familiar scripture. Joshua's up there. He's in front of Judges Ruth, up close to the front. Joshua 24. I want you to turn there if you can, because you may not have this scripture marked yet in your Bible, but you should have. Let's look at verse 14. Joshua's getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land that God gave them. And how many know leading the Israelites was not exactly an easy calling? They were professional grumblers, professional murmurers. More times than once, they got in big trouble with their not faith response. So Joshua was trying to prepare them to come in and receive what God has for them. And he says this in verse 14. He said, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. That's good advice. He said this, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then you choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods of your forefathers served on up beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites or those in the land you're living. But then he said this, but as for me and my household, that's what he could control. But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. If my household serves the Lord and you don't want to serve the Lord, you don't have to be in the household. But me and my household is going to serve the Lord. The Bible says this about a woman with an unbelieving husband. It says, don't divorce him. Don't get away from him because the unbeliever said, you don't ever know that your conduct and your relationship with Jesus may win him to the Lord. Amen. Now, it says this, if the unbeliever departs, then we're under no obligation, let them depart. But if they're willing to be around us, it doesn't say we run them off because they're unbelievers. But when you're the one who is the household authority, as Joshua was in his household, you set the rules and you set the boundaries. And as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. I like the fact that it's this, as for me and my household. Me. Because even if you're not one controlling the household, you are the one controlling you. And no one gets to take that away from you. The Nazis thought that they could take it away from Corrie Ten Boom, but they didn't. You say, I don't know who that is. Look it up. If you went through the things that she went through and you don't celebrate every little victory, you got bread today, even though it has mold on it, it's still bread, and you celebrate the victory that you got a piece of bread today. You celebrate the fact that your wooden bunk that you're forced to sleep on with hundreds of other people in there has some straw on it, so it's a little bit softer than not having anything. You celebrate every victory, and you keep your mind on God who is faithful. You respond to the God with faith words, not fear-filled words. You don't allow yourself to be distracted from God's purpose and plan in your life. And you don't allow yourself to have and to harbor disappointment. And you let God's word be the final authority in your life. Get tunnel vision between you and Jesus and say, you know what? I want everybody to know Jesus, but I'm going to know Jesus no matter what everybody else does. Amen. So Joshua said, as for me and my household. He made a choice, didn't he? Amen. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6, New Testament. So I'm going to teach you how to... He said, well, I don't get to make nobody's choices. I guess I just have to... Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No. We have power to influence other people's choices. We don't get to choose for them. But we're not helpless bystanders. Ephesians 6 teaches us what we need to do. Pick it up in verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. That's your number one defense against disappointment and discouragement. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take... Whose stand are you taking? Verse 11. Yours. You put on the full armor of God for you so that you can take your stand. Whose choice is that? To put on armor? Yours. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know what a scheme is? It's a plan. If you look up the word schemes, it says a systematic plot to obtain a specific goal. What do you think the number one goal of the devil is against us as believers? To turn us into unbelievers. He wants to turn us against God. And then he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But we can take a stand against his schemes. How do we do it? We put on the full armor of God. We take our stand against the devil's schemes. And remember this, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. I want you to say out loud, people. Come on, there's more than five of us in here. I want you to say out loud, people are not my problem. You might want to write that on your forehead backwards and go to the mirror often. People are not my problem. You say, well, yeah, they are. Them people over there, and they're making these rules and these regulations and this one and that one, and then my boss, that's not your problem. The only problem that you have is the way you're choosing to respond to the circumstances that are coming in your life. But what motivates people to do the things that they do and have the response that they respond, it's not just them. You see, it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. A lot of people think politics will fix our nation. If we could just get this person to be the president, if we could just get this way for Congress, people are not the problem. People are not the solution. Now, God's will being done through people, that's the solution. But the problem itself is a spiritual problem. Amen. And if we're trying to just simply live by the way things look to us, we're going to constantly be disappointed, discouraged, beat down. So he said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against these spiritual things. Verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Having done everything, putting your armor on, stand. I'm not moving. Don't tell me you're not stubborn, because I don't believe it. We're all stubborn. So we've got to get stubborn about our belief and our trust in God and not let things rock our boat. Because we all struggle with this issue. We all struggle with, we want everybody to come along. Come on, let's go together. And I'm telling you that to serve Jesus, you got to follow Jesus. People are going to come and go with you. They really are. And your prayers are powerful and they are effective and they will bring about change. But they won't be powerful and effective and bring about change if you get discouraged and quit. The Bible says, let us not be weary in doing what's right, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Don't give up on this country. Don't give up on your city. Don't give up on your family. Amen. Let's go one more place here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10, watch this. You see, what am I supposed to be doing? Celebrate every victory. Be faith-focused, not fear-focused. Don't be distracted or disappointed, and make God's word be the final authority in every situation. You notice the disappointments I told you all about earlier? Those were bitter disappointments to me that day. Hey, just a flat tire on your motorcycle. I understand that. But to me at the time, it was a big deal. Amen. You know what? It could be a big deal. I dropped my Slurpee. It can be a big deal, man. You know? Ask any little kid that drops their Slurpee. I guarantee you it's a big deal. It's literally life transforming. They'll fall on the floor and pull a fit and hold their breath. That's their response. It is life changing. I like to be proactive, not reactive. The enemy's going to sucker punch you at times. You're not going to see it coming. If he hits you and he knocks you down and you jump up and start worshiping God, you know what the enemy's going to quit doing? He's going to quit hitting you because he don't like that response. He's going to go find somebody that when he hits them, they lay there and wallow in it and blame God for it. If you jump off into the pity party pit and you wallow in self-focus, you're literally just making yourself a target for the enemy because he loves it. It's as if for you to not worship God is literally as if you are worshiping the enemy. Jump up and put your focus off of that mosquito buzzing around and put your eyes on Almighty God. The Bible says don't give place to the devil. Don't focus on him. Focus on God. Amen. Don't focus on what the enemy's doing. Focus on what God's doing. Hallelujah. Realizing what's going on behind the scenes always helps you to have the right attitude. And I know I probably sound like, man, Pastor, you've been harping on the same subject for the whole time. It's what's on God's heart. He said, quit letting everybody else's response and what you don't see and what this, that, and what, quit letting it affect you. I don't get to choose for anybody else, but as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to keep serving the Lord even if my household don't serve the Lord. That don't mean I'm going to run off and leave them behind. I'm going to do everything in my power to bring them with me. Amen. I'm going to take thoughts captive. I'm going to cast down imaginations. I'm going to hold the enemy at bay with my prayers. Prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective, the Word says. I'm not going to just give up and be just, hey, I made it. But I'm not going to let someone else's response or lack thereof hinder my walk with Jesus. Amen. And that's the attitude that we have to have. You ever be tempted to be discouraged? You ever be tempted to give up? You ever be tempted to quit? Guess what? Jesus was tempted to be discouraged. He was tempted to give up. He was tempted to quit. See, I'm not sure I believe that. He's Jesus. He didn't get discouraged. He wasn't tempted to quit. He wasn't tempted to give up. Look at Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. That's my choice. I'm going to hold firm. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness or our humanity. We have one who's been tempted in every way, even as we are. Are you tempted to get angry at people when they don't respond the way you wish they would respond? Yes, guilty, right? Jesus was tempted to be angry at the people of his hometown. You say, well, the Bible don't say he was tempted to do that. It does too. It just said it. Said he's tempted in every way, just like we are. Tempted to give up, tempted to quit, tempted to throw in a towel, tempted to blame God for what people choose to do. The Bible says a foolish man destroys his own life and rages at God in his folly. Sometimes people, I don't know why God let this happen. People let it happen. We don't have a high priest that can't sympathize. He's tempted in every way, even as we are, and yet he was without sin. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What do you need to do when you feel discouraged? When discouragement is hammering on you, what do you need to do? You need to run to the throne room of grace. You need to get with Jesus. You need to echo what he tells you to say. You need to respond in faith and keep on keeping on.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.